Welcome to Does the Team Think with Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who has got the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And team, now you're going to hear a question put to you by Mrs. Molly Harris. Molly Harris, welcome to the program. What's your question, please?
With fruit and vegetables at such a high price, would members of the team consider cultivating an allotment? And what fruit and vegetables would they grow?
With fruit and vegetable at such a high price, would members of the team consider cultivating an allotment? And what fruit and vegetables would they grow?
There was this very keen villager, and he dearly wanted to win the village show with his marrow. And he was very worried about it because it was rather frosty. And he woke up in the middle of the night and he said, "I'm ever so worried about my marrow." And his wife said, "What are you going to do?" So he said, "I think I'll take a hot water bottle down to it." So he took a hot water bottle down to it and saved the marrow that night. The next night he was worried about his marrow and he took down a blanket. And the next night his wife was livid and said, "Oh, go and sit with your marrow yourself." And he did. He lay next to his marrow, and his wife didn't find him in the bed afterwards that morning, so she went down and saw him, and there he was, frozen to the marrow.
I don't believe a word of it.
If you want to get back to the subject, Mr. Chairman, I am the one to do it.
Yes, please, do it.
Of course, I was instrumental in helping to cultivate an allotment all through the war. As a matter of fact, whenever I came home on leave, I did a bit of digging. The one thing that I found that was the easiest to cultivate and the most rewarding was a thing that Cyril will know about. It's called perpetual spinach.
Yes, very good.
You plant it and it grows forever. Mm. And you can keep on cutting it and boiling it and eating it, and the next morning there's some more. Marvellous food.
Ted Ray, have you ever grown anything in an allotment?
Yes. In my earlier days, we had a little house in Liverpool. But, of course, things went wrong. Daddy had to sell the polo ponies. And we started this allotment, and we had a very, very economical idea. We used to plant alternately a row of onions and a row of potatoes. And the potatoes, you see, the onions used to make the potatoes' eyes water, and that watered the whole allotment. It was marvelous.
What a load of rubbish that was, eh?
Yeah, well, you should have tasted it.
I'll tell you what, unlike Jimmy and Cyril, who are both have houses in the country, I only had it once, and that was at Worthing. We had a lovely garden, and we had a gardener. And he used to arrive every morning on his bike with a suitcase. And I used to say, "What have you got in that suitcase?" He said, "My sandwiches." But I used to notice when he went home at night, he used to be at an angle of 45 degrees with this thing, obviously nicking the produce. Anyway, we had some friends to lunch one day, and my wife asked him, "Would he get some asparagus?" And he brought about four lousy sticks. She said, "Is that all there is?" He said, "Yes, that's all there is, madam." So she said to me, "Nip down to the village and get a couple of bundles." So I went down to the village, the shop there, got a couple of bundles. I said, "Are these fresh?" He said, "Yes, your gardener already brought them in last night."
Thank you, Mrs. Harris. Thank you very much. We pay our attention now to Mr. Mike Webb. Mr. Webb, welcome to the programme. A question, please.
Yes. Does the team think a stitch in time really does save 9? And if so, are they good at sewing?
Does the team think a stitch in time really does save 9? And if so, are they any good at sewing?
I don't think any of this lot are going to be thrown on the world with their needle, do you?
Well, I've been called a little so-and-so many times.
The answer to being any good at sewing is no. I mean, all through the war, I keep harking back to the war because it was only yesterday to me. And
I think you started it, Jim.
We were issued with a thing called a huzzif. I don't know whether anybody's
had.
It's spelt housewife.
That's right.
But it was full of needles and
threads and darning things.
Threads and darning things, and I never undid it.
I was in the war ahead of you, you know, Jim. Not the Zulu, I was in the one ahead of you. And I had this hussif. And in those days, there was no zips on the trousers, you know, there were buttons. And that was always the first thing that happened, what was a button off there. And I remember trying to sew a button on standing up with my trousers on. You did not bring tears to my eyes, I'll tell you that.
I found...
I bet you had a funny walk.
Well, of course, if you go to a good tailor, the buttons are sewn on too last. Let's face that. I was recommended a new tailor, and when I got round there, it was a lady tailor. So I started walking out of the shop. She said, oh, come back. She said, I've done a lot of men. She looks as if she had two. Anyway, she got out her inch tape, and she said, I'll measure you for your trousers first. So she put her arms around my waist, and she said, waist, 32, then round the hips, 34, inside leg, 28. And she said, now I'll measure you for your jacket. I said, tell, with the jacket, I'll have another pair of trousers.
I think this is the moment where we might ask Mr. Webb to contribute. Mr. Webb, do you suppose these gentlemen are good at sewing?
Well, our vintage team here is...
Vintage is right.
Yeah, true. Interesting to see, you know, celebrities travelling about the country, obviously. Yes, as Jimmy puts his hand up, is he travelling?
Yes.
Wondering if they do their own packing and that sort of thing, or where they have a sort of a little maid.
I was about
a wench.
To say before this loquacious lad started on that.
Loquacious.
He's come a long way, Jim, to put his question.
I don't care how far he's come. You have to go back eventually anyway. he's getting his fare paid. What the hell? Yes. You've flown up from Tangier or something specially. No, I was just about to say, on our many peregrinations...
What point are you making, young man?
He's asking us what we do about little catastrophes.
Provide them in hotels.
Jim, it's all yours.
I'll tell you something. That I know it is, and I'm keeping it. What there is of it, I'm keeping it. What I was going to say...
Jim, nobody else wants it.
You'd be surprised. There's a little lady down in Godalming. Anyway, never mind. Just off the 281. But listen, this is true. This, unfortunately, is another story about it. This is a story about Australia. I was doing my act in Australia, and I always wear a dinner jacket in my act because I want to be a bit smart, you see. And one day I'd done the act, and it had gone extraordinarily well.
Of course.
And
one night,
a lady came up to me after. She said, you don't mind me mentioning this, Mr. Emmons, but... when you bend over with your back to the audience to pick up your trombone, she said, your ass fell out of your trousers. And I suddenly recalled that a week before I'd gotten a taxi with a spring in the seat, and it had burst into me and whatnot, you know. And one of the chorus in the show had cobbled them up, but during the heat of the moment it had come apart again, you see. So I do my act in something different now. But it's true, you see, we're very prone to these little accidents because if I lose a button in a really important strategic place, I just throw that suit away. Much easier.
Really?
Yeah,
when do you throw your suit?
He does. He takes the button in and says, put a suit on this.
Thank you very much, son. Thank you very much, Mr. Mike Webb.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our team, you're going to hear a question from Miss Eileen Pearson. Miss Pearson, welcome to the programme. Take courage in both hands and put your question, please.
If a Eurovision joke contest were held, which of the teams should represent Britain and would he stand any chance of winning?
If a Eurovision joke contest were to be held, which of the teams should represent Britain and would he stand any chance of winning?
I know right away who would win, and
yes,
it would be none other than Cyril Fletcher.
Why?
Mind you, he'd be doing my act.
Cyril Fletcher.
I suppose the best thing to do today would be to tell one of these incredible Irish jokes about, for instance, the chap who was given a pair of water skis and went round looking for a lake with a slope to it.
You realise, Mackie?
Or the Irish wolfhound.
Could I ask members of the team to tell us a joke, and we'll judge by the applause... which of you should represent Great Britain in a joke contest?
Are they game for this?
Good idea, Mac.
Right, you start, Arthur.
Alphabetical order.
Yes.
I tell a joke.
Yes.
And the audience applaud who goes the best.
That's right.
Oh, dear. There was this young couple, you see, they were engaged, and they were on a motoring holiday up in Scotland. And one night they went a bit too far, in the car, I mean. And they pulled up at this little Scottish hotel, and the fella said, well, I've only got one bed. That's Scotch. I've only got one bed. I've only got the one room, but it's got a very big bed. So the fellow was a bit prissy. He said, She said, oh, it's all right. We've been engaged for 5 years. We're getting married next year. We can put the bolster down the middle of the bed and everything will be all right. So they agreed to do that. And the following morning, they went for a walk before breakfast and it was very windy. And she was wearing a headscarf and the wind got under the scarf and blew it over a high wall. So he said, I'll get it for you, love. Oh, she said, don't bother, it's only an old one. No, no, he said, I'll get it. I'll climb over the wall. She said, you climb over the wall, you can't climb over the bolster.
How many
on the clapometer?
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that was only competitor number one. Competitor number two, Jimmy Edwards.
Il y avait deux gendarmes.
Oui, bon.
I like it.
Et qui s'était en... Well, it's Eurovision, isn't it? I want the French to understand this blasted joke. Yeah. Il y avait deux gendarmes en Piccadilly très tard... Pendant la nuit.
Bon, bon.
Il y avait deux gendarmes.
Oui, bon.
Et un gendarme dit à l'autre gendarme, j'aime beaucoup get home, retourner à la maison et tirer la wife's knickers off. Et l'autre gendarme dit, pourquoi? And he'll be, they're half killing me. Well,
French contingent gave it 3 points.
Two babies a day old, side by side in cots in a maternity home.
That's it.
One of them leans over the edge of his cot and says to the other,
are you a little girl or a little boy?
And the other one says,
I'm a little boy.
First one says,
How'd you know whether you're a little girl or a little boy?
First one pushes down the bed clothes and says,
punching Judy.
Look, blue booties.
Now, competitor number...
My job, I'm still in the wings, waiting for my gag.
Competitor number four, Ted Ray.
A lot of little Basques.
Ooh.
Came over here to play table tennis, and they all rushed out into the Piccadilly, you know, these little Basques, and they all ran through this revolving door, and they were knocked down, and they were all very badly hurt, and it shows you mustn't put all your Basques in one exit.
All right. I'm going to ask Miss Eileen Pearson if she would adjudge the winner. Which of these four gentlemen do you think should represent us should we have a Eurovision joke contest? From the four you've heard.
Yes, I think they should all go.
Go where?
As the whims of the shadows.
If we all went together, three of us wouldn't get in.
Now, Miss Pearson, who do you think is the best joke there?
Oh, I think Mr. Askey.
Mr. Askey.
So do I.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Miss Eileen Pearson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a lady who's used to coping with comics, having helped so many of them on radio and TV. A warm welcome to Pat Coombs. Not only a funny lady, but very courageous, because she's now going to face the panel and put her question to them.
Does the team think it's possible to bring up a kitten in the way you would bring up a dog?
Does the team think it is possible to bring up a kitten in the way that you would bring up a dog?
Miss Pat Coombs.
Yes, Tate.
Are you... She looks like a green pipe cleaner, doesn't she? Very tall, my favourite wonderful, wonderful lady she is. Are you one of those catacombs?
Yes.
I only wondered. I've got a dog with no nose.
How does he smell?
Terrible.
Terrible. I've got a cat with
no claws.
Really?
Didn't sign the contract.
Very good. But, you know, these cats are very, very liable, susceptible, you see, to getting preggers.
What?
Getting pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And there were two cats talking the other day, and she-cats, obviously, and one was talking to the other and said, darling, are you in the club again? She said, yes, dear, I'm afraid so. She said, anyone I know? She said, no, I didn't actually see him. I got my head in a salmon tin at the time.
That's one for the Eurovision joke contest.
the friend said, don't worry, you'll know him next time.
Yeah.
Ted, did you hear about the cat who had an affair with a blow lamp and had a set of lean kittens?
finished up singing a torch song, I suppose.
Listen, I think it's time we turned our attention to our lovely guest, Pat Coombs. Pat, do you own a dog? Do you own a cat? Or
a
do you own both?
A very new kitten, you see.
And are you trying to train it as you would train a dog?
I wish I could. I mean, it's 4 months old.
What are your problems?
I leave it alone a lot.
Yes.
I live in a flat.
So do I, but it's had it for me.
Carry on, Pat.
Be polite to your guest, team.
She shouldn't give you feed lines like that. Keep going, Coombsy.
It's my job, you see. If I help myself. And I'm very near a main road. It's virtually on a main road. And the first time I've ever had a cat in a flat. And I mean, it would be super.
Did you get a cat in a flat?
It's a flat cat.
It's a flat cat.
A flat cat.
It would be super, I think, if I could leave it and then say, you know, Mummy's going shopping, back in half an hour. And it would wag its tail. And it would know, but I mean, it doesn't know, you see.
A dog would understand
yes,
that.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
But not a cat, you see.
No.
It's funny
no.
The difference between the two. When a dog wags his tail, it means he's happy to see you're around. Yeah. When a cat starts to wag its tail, it means it's going to scratch you.
What about the Isle of Man? Yeah.
You know that fellow who came home and ordered his wife to cut the dog's tail off?
No, I never heard that.
He said, cut the dog's tail off. He said, why? He said, your mother's coming to stay and I don't want any signs of welcome.
I can't tell one breed of dog from another. Some I can recognise. I was in the pub the other night and a fellow walked in and I said to him, that's a lovely bulldog you've got. He said, it's a greyhound. I said, you can't kid me. I don't know much about it, but that is obviously a bulldog. He said, it's a greyhound. It was chasing a cat and it ran into the wall.
A good lady rang up her newsagent one day and she said, I want to cancel my newspaper order. And the chap in the shop said, is this permanent? And she said, yes, we've trained the kitten now.
Pat, do you think that any of these gentlemen on the team could and probably do keep a cat? And what sort of cat do you recommend for each member of the team?
Oh, that's a puzzler, isn't it?
It is a puzzler,
it
yes.
It is, yeah.
A moggy cat for Jim?
A cat with whiskers I'd have, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would, long
you know,
ones,
you
yes.
know, these whiskers yes. of mine are very useful, same as with the cat. I know if I'm drunk...
You get through a pub door?
No. If I go through a door and feel it, I know I'm leaning to one side.
If you go through a door and feel it, you should be arrested.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Pat Coombs. Thank you, Pat, very much. For being our guest. Thank you very much. Sorry, sir. Pat Coombs has departed. Mr. Barry Matthews has entered. Mr. Barry Matthews, your question, please.
Do the team enjoy comic postcards, and do they use some of the jokes in their acts?
Haven't you heard their act? Do the team enjoy comic seaside postcards and do they use some of the jokes in their acts?
I don't like this tone that you're taking, MacDonald Hobley.
Not at all.
So, haven't you seen their act? Because these comic postcard fellas get the jokes from us.
Most of these postcards were done by a fellow called Donald McGill, wasn't it?
That's right.
Something like that. And you know, people do collect, I'll tell you who collects comic postcards, Ronnie Barker. He's a collector of comic postcards.
Do you, Mr. Matthews, collect postcards?
Yes, I do, actually.
You do?
Yes, yeah.
What's the best one you've got?
If you'd like to have a look at the...
Yes, I will, but...
Suggest which...
My husband's got an electric organ. Blimey, does it light up in the dark? Yes.
Now, that is disgusting.
Yes, of course it is.
I am like you.
That's
I
fine.
Buy every dirty postcard I see because I hate them to get into the wrong hands.
A very funny postcard one day, and there was a man walking on the beach, and obviously he'd been swimming, and he lost his trunks, and he was wearing
How could you tell?
Well, he was wearing a straw hat over his bound parts. You see, and a lady came along, and she said to him, he said to her, what are you staring at? It proves you're no lady. She said, if you were a gentleman, you'd raise your hat.
The thing that I object to in these dirty postcards is that the weedy, silly man is always called Cyril. Always.
It's usually fat ladies on donkeys, isn't it? In my early days, I assure you this is true. When
at
I was
the turn of the century.
At the turn, yeah. And the century's been on the turn ever since.
Arthur is the turn of the century.
No, but I did. I wrote a very funny song, and they were all taken off postcards at Margate. And if you'd like me to sing a couple of verses, I will.
Go on, then.
If you'd rather I didn't, I won't. But the idea was, I took different professions, you see. Yeah, I pulled myself together and I tumbled down the street. And first I thought a poulterer I would be. A man came in the shop one day, his face was very red. I want a camisole or casserole, I can't think which, he said. So I whispered confidentially, is the bird alive or dead?
Tim, since Mr. Barry Matthews has taken the trouble to bring this fabulous collection of postcards, would you read that one? Because I rather like it. And don't forget to put the name of the husband in, which is Cyril.
Well, describe the picture first.
Oh, the picture. All right, a lady with rather large... Read it.
The lady with the big...
Yeah, things.
Big brown eyes.
Has got a bunch of flowers, and she's standing by the graveside of her dear departed husband.
Cyril.
The old lady has obviously said to her about it, you know, and she said, my husband Cyril was 75, but we used to make love every Sunday morning to the sound of church bells. He was all right until one morning the fire engine went past.
I told you they got them.
What a lovely death.
Oh, dear.
And the fire engine these days goes, na, 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 na.
But, of course, these postcards go back to the Stone Ages. I mean,
the ambulance when I was a kid,
I remember we had a postcard and my mother and father and Uncle Arthur and Auntie Barbara all laughed at it. And I thought, oh, this must be funny, so I learned it. It was a picture of a little girl and a bear. And at the first church concert, I couldn't have been more than six, I went on and I recited what was on the postcard. It said, Mary had a little bear to which she was so kind, and everywhere that Mary went, you saw her bear behind. And the vicar went green.
Mr. Barry Matthews, let's have your third best.
There's a poor old gentleman there standing with a walking stick, and he's just ordering an ice cream.
You leave Sed out of this.
Just ordering an ice cream sundae. And the old boy says, ice cream sundae, please. And the gentleman behind the desk says, crushed nuts, Grandad. He says, no, lad, rheumatism.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. Barry Matthews. Thank you, Barry. And our team, Mrs. Joy Blackmer, has a question for you. Mrs. Blackmer, welcome to the programme. Great courage you have to follow Barry Matthews, but nevertheless you have it, so let's have your question.
If invited to a fancy dress party, what costume would members of the team wear and what would they suggest for their colleagues?
If invited to a fancy dress party, what costume would members of the team wear and what would they suggest for their colleagues?
Well, I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea if Jim went as an elephant. The other two we could involve into one character because we'd shove Arthur Askey up the back of Ted Ray's coat and they'd both go as the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Sorting order. Jimmy.
This question did arise with me in the recent past. I went to a Halloween party in the United States. They believe in Halloween. I don't know what it is.
That's right, they do.
But they all dress up as something...
Duck Apple Night.
They all want... They said to me, the important thing is to be grotesque, so I didn't wear anything.
But not even a suit?
Well, no, but I mean, people tend to want to go... Like one fellow went in an entire gorilla outfit, you see. He spent the entire evening taking the head off, telling his friends it was him.
Well, the chairman of the Kojak went to a fancy dress ball, took his hat off and was thrown out for being a nudist.
Well, there was this lady, she went to a fancy dress ball, she got nothing on at all, she just had a necklace of carrots, potatoes and onions round her neck. And she was walking in, nothing else on, and the commissioner said, you can't come in like that. She said, it's a fancy dress ball, isn't it? He said, yes. He said, well, what have you come as? She said, I've come as an Irish stew. He said, well, you can't come in, your dumplings are boiling over.
Mrs. Blackmer, Do you, first of all, may I ask one question? Do you like fancy dress parties and balls?
I've never actually been to one myself.
You've never been to one, ever in your life?
No, never.
And if you had to go and you had to take one of these gentlemen with you, what would you suggest he dressed up as? Or if you took all four? How
well,
would dress?
I think Cyril Fletcher as Cyrano de Bergerac, he'd certainly have the nose for an odd odour. Arthur Askey would be a very cute Shirley Shorthouse Temple.
Oh! Very good.
Be Ted Ray as the Barber of Seville with his razor-sharp wit.
That's nice. I like you.
What are you putting me in as, darling?
And I fancy Jimmy Edwards.
So I fancy you.
Oh,
if you got caught up an alley with Jimmy Edwards, you'd be tickled to death.
In Baby's Bonnet and Napkin, as one of Raquel Welsh's triplets, the one on the bottle, of course.
talking about Cyrano de Bergerac brings me to a party we four could all go together. Cyril would go as Athos. Jimmy would go as Porthos.
Porthos, yes.
I would go as Aramis. And because he's so quick, Arthur would be darting again. I've just been challenged. I've got it, what, dear?
It's the Three Musketeers.
I don't care who it is. If you had enough to drink, you'd see four musketeers.
But it is true. I mean, one has to think of the practical thing. You get the laugh at the beginning of the evening, and then you struggle for the rest of the evening, this sweaty rubber suit or something, or this hideous mask on.
That's true.
Or with blood all over your face or something like that. I think the thing is to go with something quite practical, like a sausage or something.
Well, you always have a skinful, don't you?
Thank you, team, very much. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray and Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks, of course, to all our questioners and our special guest, Pat Booth. This is MacDonald Hopey saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.